Blog Talk Radio.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available, committed to buying only from the growers when they can, and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solavay. And Solavay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solavay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solavay. You sign up enough people, and Solavay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solavay.com/freedomizer. That's Solavay, Solavei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solavay.com/freedomizer.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Bellas and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We never let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up, speak up, speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news?
All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at WilliamLewisFilms.com. That's WilliamLewisFilms.com.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Blessings, saints of the Most High God, freedomizers, family and friends. You are now tuned in to the Sunday Fellowship of the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries program. hands. But now they defend the fellowship of the Spotlight Christian Ministries Program. And I'm your host, Lord Stephen Emmanuel. And we are here to enlighten and just encourage and lift the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. We do it an honor to be here. And we thank all of you who are around this morning. All of you are in the chat room, and all of you who are listening live, and those of you who are listening to the archives as well. God bless each and every one of you. Okay, God bless you. That's why they keep me on my toes in the chat room, guys. I have to admit. Okay. And before we go any further, as always, we would like for you to join with us in a moment or two of prayer where we usher in our Lord and Savior's Holy Spirit and just seek the presence of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. And I know you guys are looking for Sister Wilkins. Sister Dominique Wilkins is a bit under the weather. She might be stopping by a bit later. We'll pray for her strength in the Lord, as always. All right. So, let us now, don't forget, we will have our Christian update with our Christian correspondent, Sister Terrell Harper, and she's waiting in the wings. God bless you, Sister Harper. How are you? We see you. Amen, amen. It is an honor to be here. And Father God, most holy and heavenly Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Father, we thank you that all is well as it is. Father God, hallelujah. We love you, Father. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you for the gift of salvation. Father God, we thank you that you looked past our faults and saw our needs, that we were in need of a Savior. Father God, Father, we were headed down the path of destruction. Father God, but in your mercy, you looked down upon your children and made a way for us to return back unto you. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, oh God. We thank you for life. We thank you, Father God, for a mind stayed on you, be closed in our right minds, the activities of our limbs. Father God, we thank you that all is well as it is this day. In the precious name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We bless your chosen people, Israel. We pray for all of those that are behind the prison walls. We pray for those that are in the hospitals. We pray for those that are in the nursing home. We pray for those that are in the rehabilitative centers. We pray for all of those that are in the shelters, those that are homeless, those that are struggling just trying to make ends meet. We pray for that sinner man, oh God. We pray for that sinner woman, that lost son, that lost daughter. Father God, hallelujah, touch in a mighty way. In the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, Father God, your Christ, who died on the cross on Calvary, who went and defeated death, hell, and the grave, and took the keys to the kingdom, then rose upon the third day and ascended into the heavens and is now seated at your right hand. Oh God, in his name, we thank you, oh Lord. We thank you for everything that you have done, oh God. We thank you, oh Lord, for everything that we know you will do. Father God, hallelujah. We thank you for everything that you're doing right now. For we know, Father God, that you have not brought us this far to leave us now. Father God, hallelujah. Thy will be done. Allow us to decrease, O God, as you increase in us, that you will be glorified in us. Father God, I speak life into everyone that is under the sound of my voice. All of those that are listening in the chat rooms, those that are listening live, those that are listening to the archives. Father God, bless, touch life into their minds, life to their bodies, life into their souls, life into their spirits, life into their homes, into their marriage, life into their finances. Father God, hallelujah. Be glorified through the life of your people, Father God, for you are our shield, our buckler, our redeemer. Father God, you are our everything. Father God, and we shall forever give your name all the praise, hallelujah. We give your name all the honor, hallelujah. All the glory and thanks is unto you, Father God, for you are more than worthy. In Jesus' name, your Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, Heavenly Father, we bless and thank you. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God bless you. We thank you. We have some things. We have a few things going on today. We have the Christian update coming very shortly after our first commercial break with Sister Terrell Harper. And we also have today's installment of the next chapter of In Our Image, which is going to be very interesting, from author, producer, our brother in Christ, Brother Bill Sullivan, who put together this excerpt from the audio drama. It's from different places. It's putting together, explaining about the switch of the pagan festivals that were just capped with the name of the fallen Christians that were passing off, but it's still the same pagan ritual. And just because we call it a name of one of God's people does not mean that God is going to accept it. It's not the same thing. It's still the same idolatrous paganism that God banished Israel for, that God put them in bondage for. It's the same thing, and it's not going to be accepted. It wasn't accepted by them, and they didn't have all the knowledge that we have. Knowledge has been increased now, and they didn't have all the knowledge. And see, if we reject the truth and light has come into the world, then we're actually rejecting Christ. My brothers and sisters, it's going to be good. We'll get that up for you probably in the second hour sometime. We'll get into that. Also, we're going to continue our series from the ministry's commentary, Christian Common Sense. And we have chapter 7 about the Quakerman controversy, where it got to be a big issue about Easter and Passover, and we'll have that for you as well as great gospel music. So, okay, we'll get to our scripture reading, but we'll do that after our first commercial break, because we don't have that much time. Let's do this, my brothers and sisters. Yeah, I just love this song. Let me play it.
Oh, I've got you. You got I'm talking about the day when the Lord come for me. I'm just talking about when I see my Lord. Can I get a witness here? Can you imagine in your mind Jesus standing at the gate?
To Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello again. Freedomist Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping. So go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
We are Critical Immunity with Larry and Renee. Our show will cover current events, national health news, nutrition, emergency preparedness, and organic farming, and various implements and tools to thrive and survive. We hope you tune in and join in our discussion of health, liberty, preparedness, and survival. Join our hosts, Larry and Renee, with guest callers always welcome.
We know about the Gulf oil spill. We know about problems with voting. We know about environmental toxicity. We know that there are problems about the wars that our government is not representing the people as we would wish them to represent us. But we also know that there are crystal clear solutions. I'm Patricia Springstead, and I'm heavily involved in making the world a better place.
Every day you try to brainwash people, just to have things go your way.
Trisha Springstead on Freedomizer Radio. Crystal clear solutions.
Well, tell me what you're gonna do when you're well and dry.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you gotta elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Praise the Lord, and we're back. All right, my brothers and sisters, we'll go now to the Word of God in our scriptural reading. And it never fails. People always want to talk when I get on there. It's truly amazing. Okay, we are going into the book of Exodus, and I'm going to drop the link in the chat room for you guys where you can follow along. And as we read, we're going to be dealing with the initiation of the Sabbath, okay? And we're going to start in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus with the 22nd verse. And then we're going to go from there to the book of Hebrews. All right. And it is written, "And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seeth that ye will seeth, and that which remaineth overlay for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And this word manna was M-A-W-N. And it simply means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. And it was like considered seed, white, and the taste of it like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread therein. I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came into a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. All right, and now let us go over. Let me drop this in the chat room for you guys. Exactly, Sister Tessa, that's what it means. It means what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. All right. And we're in, let us go now to the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And we're going to start at the first verse. And it is written, Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he have not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. For we know that the word of God is already blessed. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I'm pointing this out. We're trying to true followers, the true church of Christ, observe. My brothers and sisters, we are gathered together to the gathering of the saints of God, that the word of God says that we should forsake not. And we are sticking with the word of truth. No man is able to change what God has set in place. No church, no apostle, no cardinal, no chief apostle, no archbishop, no pope can change what God has established. And those who follow have rejected God and his ways. Just like he was saying in the book of Genesis, how the children of Israel were rejecting his commandments and his laws by not doing what he said. If you do not do what God said and you do something contrary to what the Lord says, then you have rejected God. Regardless of what you say, think, or do, you've rejected him. There is no changing that. And we need to understand this, because the time is very, very, very short, my brothers and sisters. And we need to go ahead on and get our houses in order. You cannot, God was upset and told them, look, this is the sixth day. I'm cooking for you twice as much for the day, so you'll have enough for tomorrow. Gather enough, have it in your house. I'm going to take care of it. It's not going to spoil. It's not going to stink. It's not going to have any worms. It will be good for you tomorrow. Just gather enough, and tomorrow rest. But there were those, as the word of God, as we read in the book of Exodus, that, you know, they just didn't follow. They just did not follow, and then they went out looking. And this is offensive to God, because you are now in disobedience. And if you are disobeying, you are rebelling. And if you are rebelling, you have rejected what the Lord said for what you wanted to do. So now you are serving your will and not the will of the Most High. My brothers and sisters, this is not the way followers should walk. We should walk in God's truth and observe what God has commanded, not what any man says. Any man tell you it's okay to go to church on Sunday and this is our day of worship that we have established. They're telling you the truth. It's their day of worship that they have established to do what they wanted to do. But the people of God, the true church, they worshiped God from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And they told their children about God from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And they reminded them all the things that God did for the children of Israel and how he brought them out of Egypt and brought them to the land from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Now, Sunday, God is offended with Sunday because that is the day that Ishtar and Nimrod are being worshipped. Easter as the queen of heaven, and Nimrod as the supposedly savior. And those pictures that you see that supposedly are Mary holding the baby Jesus are actually the pictures that were around long before Mary or Jesus was even born into the world. Those are pictures of Easter and Nimrod. If you see that ring around there and what have you, supposedly to be a halo, that's not a halo. That's the sun shining behind them because they are the sun gods. Nimrod is supposed to be the sun god. And you, observing those days, are falling for the deception that the enemy has laid to deceive the people of God. My brothers and sisters, we can't do that. We need to stay focused. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to seek the old paths. This new thing that man coming up with, don't let no man send you to hell leaving what he said over the Word of God. That's automatically grounds to be banished to hell because you trusted a man over the Word of God. And knowledge has greatly increased. You have no right to be able to say, I didn't know. Well, if you didn't know, it was just because you didn't want to know. My brothers and sisters, let us not walk down. Let us not fall into that trap. That would be self-deception. All right, my brothers and sisters. Okay, let us now, let's go to our Christian correspondence. I'm going to give her the floor. I got a couple of things I need to run and do, but we're going to trust Sister Harper for the next 10 minutes to bring us news that is of concern to the body of Christ, and we welcome her. God bless you, Sister Harper. How are you?
I'm fine, and how are you?
Blessed and thankful. Thank you for asking. It is indeed an honor to be in the service of the Lord. Amen?
Yes, it is. Amen.
So, all right. I need to run and check on a couple of things. So you have the floor. And I'll be listening. So take it away, Sister Harper.
Okay. Well, good morning, all. And God bless. This is from ChristianPost.com.
Speak up, love.
Okay. This is from ChristianPost.com. Christians from the eastern region of India were beaten and tortured for hours in their local village by police officers last month. Barnabas Fund reported Tuesday. Barnabas Fund is an organization that supports persecuted and oppressed Christians. Around 60 officers surrounded, I hope I'm saying this right, Sadat Chanchara village at 2:30 a.m., and forced their way into the homes of Christians on February 15th. The Ganjam district village in Orissa, India, was in an uproar, and a four-year-old boy received a fractured hand after an officer stepped on it, according to Barnabas Fund. One of the villagers apprehended by officers was tied to a tree and assaulted while crying out, "Oh God, oh Jesus, hallelujah." They cried, causing the officers to get more angry and violent, according to the UK-based organization. Barnabas Fund reported that Pastor Jahaya Mandal was interrogated by police after coming forward to see what all the commotion was about, while a church deacon was tied to a tree and severely beaten. Mandal, Rohita, and six other Christian villagers were led out of the village with their hands bound at 6:30 a.m. Police forced them to walk barefoot on thorny, rocky ground for over 2 miles. This caused severe pain and bleeding on their feet. They were taken to another village 7 miles from their own. Christian Indians are at risk of attack, typically by Hindu stray extremists because they are the religious minority in the region. Police do not often intervene and rarely take part in the attacks. But according to a note on persecution.org, International Christian Concern stated that police killed 5 Christians in the state, that the villagers were tortured. I would venture to say that the police are most certainly involved in the beating and torturing of Christians. The note read, violent attacks against Christians, including assault, battery, rape, and murder, have long been ignored and under-investigated by local police officials. In the worst cases, local police officials have crossed the line from passive acquiescence to active participation in the attacks on Christians. I guess they're being paid to do this, if this is ramping up on their part, to take part in killing of God's people. The 5 Christians that were killed were mistaken for Maoists, M-A-O-I-S-T-S. Odisha is home to over 36 million people, mostly Hindu. And the scripture for this type of behavior, I think, is appropriate. Romans 8:35-39, is encouraging Christians everywhere. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I say amen to that. I have another one. Oh, this is interesting. Pat Robertson claims that he prayed for a viewer to receive $1 million and the prayer was answered. On an episode of the 700 Club, Pat prayed for one of his viewers to get this much needed $1 million. Now, Pat is going to require, of course, that 10% we know in that offering. I wonder what a person's motive is when they do this kind of stuff, because couldn't the person have prayed for themselves is what I'm wondering. That he had to do it. He had to intervene. He had to be the middleman in this. And the guy got this $1 million is from a BP oil spill settlement. And this conversation went on between this businessman and Pat Robertson. This is Pat. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge that someone was getting $1 million. So later, a few days ago, the businessman spoke to Pat and said to him, you know, do you have that word? And Pat answered, yeah. The businessman then tells him he has word that he is getting a check from BP oil for $1.1 million. In his interview, he told viewers that some needy person will receive $1 million, echoing the assumptions of the controversial prosperity gospel. Pat said that God told him he has heard his prayer, and I know your need and will supply that need. Now, stop right there. I thought this was about the viewer. I just want you to notice that word. The word just kept being spoken. The word. What word did they get? Just what word are they talking about? So news there. I have another one. 13 victims of the Black Plague that swept through Europe in the 14th century. Skeletons have been found under a leather.
Sister Papa, I'm sorry, but they're saying in the chat room they can't hear you, love.
Oh, I have it on speaker. I'm speaking.
No, take it off speaker and get close to it.
Oh, I am close to it. I'm speaking right into it. I got it in my hand. It's how I talk so every time. I don't know what's going on, but
okay, they say you're sounding better now. Say you're sounding better now. Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, what should I do? Which one
keep
should I go back over there?
Yeah, well, the Pat Robertson one. Yeah, let's go back over to the Pat Robertson one.
Okay, all right. Pat Robertson claims that he prayed for a viewer to get $1 million, and the prayer was answered. He claims that a prayer he recently said on air was answered for one of his viewers. On an episode of the 700 Club, Pat prayed for one of his viewers to get this much needed $1 million. Now, I wonder what a person's motive is. Couldn't that person have prayed for themselves? You know, and so I'm just wondering about that. Now, This is a conversation between this businessman and Pat Robertson. Pat said, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that someone was getting $1 million. The businessman spoke to Pat a few days ago and said to him, you know, do you have that word? And Pat answered, yeah. The businessman then tells him he has a word that he is getting a check from BP Oil for $1.1 million. In his interview, he told viewers that some needy person will receive $1 million, echoing the assumptions of the controversial prosperity gospel. Pat said that God told him, he has heard his prayer, and I know your need and will supply that need. And I felt like, stop right there. I thought this was about the viewer. You see, I just wanted, that word has been used a lot in this, and I wondered, what word are they talking about? What word did you get, you see? So I just, that was strange to me. To me, Pat didn't have to be a middleman in that. I think the person could have prayed for themselves, don't you think? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm in agreement, you know, but the Word of God says that where two or three come together, touching and agreeing upon anything, that they shall have the petitions that they've put before the throne of grace. But I'm really not sure what their motives are. Who can say?
Right.
It's, you know, I've been through with Pat Robertson ever since he told the man to leave his dying wife and find him somebody else. So I really can't follow someone that would say such a thing.
Thank you. I was wondering when the reason why I was asking why he had to be a little man. He wants some of that 10% if he has a church. And that's a viewer. He's going to want some of that million now. You know that. So that's why I was wanting to get the motive. Usually some motive behind that, especially with Pat Robertson. I got some good news, though. I do have some good news from the ChristianPost.com.
Oh, great. We could use some.
Yeah. It states that Mississippi legislature has passed a bill allowing student-led prayer in public schools with a majority vote in both the Senate and the House. Senate Bill 2633, also known as the Mississippi Student Religious Liberties Act of 2013, prohibits public schools in the state from discrimination due to students' expression of religious beliefs. So I'm just kind of glad. Mark Fonby, Republican representative, has been presenting a bill for prayer since 2009, and his persistence paid off. And now he spoke to the Christian Post, saying legislators, especially those who claim to be Christian and that represent constituencies that are predominantly Christian, according to polling, should make proactive moves to stand in the gap. That is what I see this particular bill doing. He also goes on to say, I think that it is very obvious any casual bystander can tell that there is an attack on religion in general, especially Christianity. So I wonder why. You know, I'm joking. I know why. That name above every name is in the very word Christianity, Christ. So Satan wants nothing to do but send his demons to torment us and cause worry and unnecessary anxiety. Or we can just go to the Father and ask for what we want.
They don't want that. That is true. They are trying to diminish anyone from seeking Christ. They want people to follow this false Christ, this Christ that's Santa Claus, that you ask me for anything and I got it for you. You know, you want the $1 million, I got it for you. You want the big car, I got it for you. You want the beautiful home, I got it for you. You know, and believe me, that God is not the Holy One of Israel. That's another God. Well, thank you, Sister Harper. We've got to go to commercial break now, but it is always a pleasure, and we thank you for especially leaving us on a positive note. It's good that someone did stand and accomplished, you know, something that is very needed. Our children need to learn to pray in school. It needs something to offset all of the negativity that they face every day from the time they wake up until the time they go to bed. So it's good to hear that. And we thank you. And we, at the Lord's will, we look forward to hearing from you again on Tuesday. And you're going to co-host with me Tuesday. Is that correct?
Yes. And I'm going to hang out, too.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, my brothers and sisters, you are listening to the Sunday Fellowship of Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries program, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Tune in each Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Debbie Brooke, founder of Homeopathy World Community on Freedomizer Radio, talks about stress management and homeopathy. Get healthy with energy medicine.
Hey there, Freedomizers. This is JC from the Sports Lounge. Join us for 3 hours on Saturdays as we take a break from politics to discuss sports at freedomizerradio.com. Come and join us each Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, this is Mary Lou Van Houten, co-host and producer of Gadsden and Rising on freedomizerradio.com. Join host Libby Gadsden and me every Monday through Thursday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk with cutting-edge guests about the truth of a variety of topics. We are 100% free speech. Gadsden Rising on Freedomizer Radio, because you can handle the truth.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
You think we have the time now? But I got a lot of friends that's already over there. My father Reverend Willie Prentice over there, the late Willie Neal Johnson, Reverend Slim Howard Hunt. And I can't wait to get over there. Now, anybody here can't wait to get over there where Jesus is. Everybody that want to go, let's make one big quiet heavy say,
together. What a time, what a time, what a time when we come together on one accord in our Lord and Savior. You know, my brothers and sisters, we're addressing the true origin of Easter. And it seems, we want to try and defend what we have been practicing for so long. But brothers and sisters, if we've been in error, we've just been in error. If we've been deceived, we didn't know, and we can't be faulted for that. But, when something is clearly stated in the Word of God that we are to do, that we are to observe, then anything contrary to that is wrong. And we just cannot, decide. We're making a choice, and we want to, claim that, the Word of God isn't the Word of God. Then why are we following a God then? Why, how do you plan to tell the Creator on Judgment Day, well, I believed that you were here, but I just didn't believe what the man said that you said. As if God isn't powerful enough to make sure his truth is out there. It's been swayed. A lot of people have came up with what they wanted to say and their versions and their understandings, but God's truth still is out there. It's still there. So how do we, try and defend anything contrary to the Word of God? This is not going to, you cannot tell the Creator, well, I believe when they said that you were here, but I just didn't believe what they said about you. Well, then if you think that they were trustworthy, then why did you believe there was a God then? How come they couldn't be lying about all of it? You can't pick and decide. We can't pick and decide what we're going to believe about God. Yeah, God, well, I believe that when they said that there was a God and that you loved me and what have you, but I just didn't believe that you wanted me to follow all these rules and do all these things and what have you. I just didn't believe all that. So if they're trustworthy, they're trustworthy. If they are untrustworthy, then they are untrustworthy. Now, we can't have it both ways. We're deceiving ourselves. And believe me when I tell you, it's going to be literally hell to pay. This is not something that we can look for loopholes in. And this is what I see so many people are doing today. And they are trying to, sway themselves and band-aid their conscience to continue to do what they feel is and deem is right. And that's not going to fly with God. We either believe the Word of God or we don't. It's simple as that. Anything else, is we're taking our beliefs or man's belief and what he say over what God says. And you can't do that, my brothers and sisters. You cannot do that. We need to stay focused on God's truth. Amen? Amen. All right, let us go over to the ministry. And we have part 7 of our series that we're doing on the true origin of Easter. And I believe this is the one where we are dealing with the Quadrangleman controversy, where all of this came up and how all of it changed from being Passover to
Easter.
Okay,
we've seen the acceptance of pagan festivals, and we see how everything has been just overshadowed with something Christian to make it sound Christian, but it's really pagan in origin. We'll go into that next as we continue our series on the true origin of Easter here on the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Christian Common Sense. about how and when the idolatrous pagan festival of Easter came to replace the Passover service ordained by God. A series of extensive quotes tell the story, commonly referred to as the Codecumen controversy. Several sources are quoted so that the story of how the counterfeit Easter came to replace Passover will be perfectly clear. The problem Passover versus Easter became so pivotal as a test of the power of the great church that wished to stamp out the little flock that eventually disobedience brought the death sentence upon any who continued to keep either God's Sabbath or his true festivals. Make no mistake, whether one keeps God Passover or celebrate the pagan Easter is serious. Notice the following. A well-known historian of the early church wrote a book, and it stated, a question of no small importance arose at the time for all the parishes of all Asia, as from an older tradition held from the 14th day of the moon, on which day the Jews were commanded to sacrifice the lamb, should be observed as the feast of the Savior's Passover. The bishops of Asia, led by the Polycrates, decided to hold the old custom handed down to them. He himself, in a letter which he addressed to Victor, who was the Pope at the time, and the Church of Rome, set forth in the following words the tradition which had come down to him. We observe the exact day, neither adding nor taking away. For in Asia also great lights have fallen asleep, which shall rise again on the day of the Lord's coming, when he shall come with glory from heaven and shall seek out all the saints. Among these are Philip, one of the 12 apostles, and moreover John, who was both a witness and a teacher, who reclined upon the bosom of the Lord, and the Polycrates in Smyrna, who was bishop and martyr, and Teresus, bishop and martyr from Armenia, the blessed Papyrus or Melitone. All these observed the 14th day of the Passover according to the gospel, dividing in no respect, but following the rule of faith. In 1967, the New Catholic Encyclopedia states, the Codecumen is a term used to describe the practice in the early church of celebrating Easter on the 14th of Nisan, the day of the Jewish Passover. Codecumenism, prevalent in Asia Minor and Syria in the 2nd century, emphasized the death of Christ, the two Paschal victims, which Roman practice emphasized the observance of Sunday as the day of the resurrection. Implicit in these two positions is the disputed chronologically of Holy Week. As Christians separated from Judaism, Gentile Christians objected to observing the principal Christian feast on the same day as the Jewish Passover. Roman efforts to induce the Codecumenes to abandon their practice were unsuccessful. On a visit to Rome, St. Polycrates of Smyrna discussed the question with Pope Anicetus without, however, reaching an agreement. Pope Victor, who was Pope from 189 to 198, sought unity through a series of scenarios held in both East and West. All accepted the Roman practice except the Asiatic bishop. When Victor attempted coercion by excommunication, St. Irenaeus of Lyons intervened to restore peace. During the 3rd century, Codecumenism waned. It persisted in some Asiatic communities down to the 5th century. The following is a lengthy statement from the Encyclopedia Britannica, and it summarizes all details of the story of how Easter slowly came to replace Passover by AD 325 with invisible organized Christianity. Although the observance of Easter was at a very early period in the practice of the Christian church false, a serious difference as to the day for its observance soon arose between the true Christians of Jewish and those of Gentile descent, which led to a long and bitter controversy. The Jewish Christians observed the 14th day of the moon at evening without regard to the day of the week. The Gentile Christians, Roman Catholics, identified the first day of the week with the resurrection and kept the preceding Friday as the commemoration of the crucifixion, irrespective of the day of the month. Generally speaking, Western churches, Roman Catholics, kept Easter on the first day of the week, while Eastern churches, including the remnant of the true church, followed the Jewish rule, the true Christian Passover. The disciple of John, the evangelist, last of the 12 apostles, and bishop of Smyrna, visited Rome in 159 to confer with Anicetus, the bishop of that see, on the subject, and urged the tradition which he had received from the apostles observing the 14th day. Anicetus, however, declined. About 40 years later, 197, the question was discussed in a very different spirit between Victor, bishop of Rome, and Polycrates, the metropolitan proconsular of Asia. That providence, embracing churches founded through the Apostle Paul, like Antioch and all of those identified in Revelations 2 and 3 as the true church, was the only portion of Christendom which still adhered to the Jewish usage. Victor demanded that all should adapt the usage prevailing at Rome. This Polycrates firmly refused to agree to and urged many weighty reasons on the contrary, whereupon Victor proceeded to excommunicate, and the Christians who continued the correct Eastern usage, he was, however, restrained by the council of other bishops from actually proceeding to enforce the decree of excommunication, and the Asiatic churches retained their usage unmolested. We find the Jewish usage of the true New Testament Passover from time to time reasserting itself after this, but it never prevailed to any large extent. A final settlement of the dispute was one among the other reasons which led Constantine, Roman's emperor, to summon the Council of Nicaea in 325 at the time of the Syrians, and the Antiochians were the solitary champions of the observance of the 14th day. The decision of the council was unanimous that Easter would be kept on Sunday and on the same Sunday throughout the world, and that none hereafter should follow the blindness of the Jews. Or in other words, no one was allowed to follow the example of Christ and the true church he founded. The few who afterwards separated themselves from the unity of the politically organized church and continued to keep the 14th day were named Quadecumina, from the Latin word for 14. And the dispute itself is known as the Quadecumen controversy. This is a very powerful quote, making absolutely plain the full story about what happened and how it happened. History records that Polycrates was martyred on the way back from Rome, burned to death in a farmhouse just days after his meeting with Anicetus over the issue of keeping Passover or Easter. He was almost certainly killed because he would not compromise regarding the proper keeping of Passover. The 1967 New Catholic Encyclopedia states, occasionally the Quadecumenes celebrated Easter on the day of the other Christians were observed Good Friday. Originally, both observances were allowed, but gradually it felt incongruous that Christians should celebrate Easter on a Jewish feast, and unity in celebrating the principal Christian feast was called for. As for Easter, the father decreed that all Christians should observe it on the same. Jewish customs should not be followed, and that the practice of the west of Egypt and of other churches should remain in force, namely of celebrating Easter on Sunday following the first full moon after the vernal equinox. The 1909 edition of the Catholic Encyclopedia states, after the Pope's strong measures, the Quadecumenes seem to have gradually dewound away. Seems to regard them as a mere handful of wrong-headed nonconformants. Second phase. This second stage of the Easter controversy centers around the Council of Nicaea, 325 AD, granting that the great Easter festival was always to be held on a Sunday, and was not to be coincided with a particular phase of the moon which might occur on any day of the week. The truth is that Passover was already tied directly to the moon, regardless of the day of the week on which it fell. The word month is derived from moon. The 14th day of Nisan, Abib, was God's instruction, book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse, not the nearest Sunday to this or any other date. So we see that it was the Roman Catholic Church that exerted its power over the Christians that wanted to do the right thing and to observe God. But them being more stronger, more powerful, greater in number, decided that what they wanted to do would stand regardless to what God said. We'll have more on this next time when we continue our study on the true origin of Easter. We will go into how the Passover was commanded and what we are to do now today, because we have to take Easter back to the Passover. Well, if the Lord's will, we'll see you next time right here on the Sound Doctrine Ministries Christian Common Sense.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Antiwarteas.com is to promote anti-war activism, unlocking minds and shattering paradigms. By purchasing one of these t-shirts, you become an anti-war activist. www.antiwarteas.com, bringing peace and human rights to the mainstream. Buy it, wear it, become it. Anti-war tees.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up
to bring you
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solovay. And Solovay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer for as long as they have Solovay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solovay. You sign up enough people, and Solovay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to solovay.com/freedomizer. That's Solovay, S-O-L-A-V-A-Y. FreedomEI.com/Freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solovay.com/Freedomizer.
Hey everyone, this is Ron from Ron's Media Matrix on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Be sure to catch my show broadcast here every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you're listening in another part of the world, that's 1800 to 2200 hours Greenwich Mean Time. We're here covering breaking world news, current geopolitical trends, keeping you up to date on the latest science and technology, along with interviewing a wide range of guests versed in a variety of special topics, and that's not all. Freedomizer Radio broadcasts 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, with other talk show hosts that cover a wide variety of topics, including health, current events, emergency preparation, spiritual interests, and much, much more. So be sure to stay tuned and at www.freedomizerradio.com. That's www.freedomizerradio.com. And if you're away from your home computer, you can always listen to us on your cell phone by calling 347-324-3704. 347-324-3704. And thanks for listening.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Anybody here know that you are blessed? Do anybody know?
J-E-S-U-S.
Out of all the seen and unseen danger that tries to harm me, I know the Lord is always protecting me. From the root of my head to the sole of my feet, I thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
They got anything to be thankful for?
Just
put your hand together. Can I say it one more time? Let me say it again. Is there anybody here that know you're blessed? Do anybody know?
Say yes, you
ask. Out of all the seen and unseen danger that tries to harm me, I'm grateful that the Lord has always protected me. From the moon of my head to the sole of my feet, Lord, I thank you. You've been so good to me. Oh,
how
many of y'all feel good in here tonight? How many of y'all know that God is able to handle your load? I just wonder, is there anybody? Can I just say one more thing? Let me tell you one more thing. Listen.
thankful for Tia. That's just great for what he's done for me. Now I can't name everything, but fellas, y'all help me say, oh my, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the activity of my life. Lord, we and glorify. How many of y'all can say, for my head and my strength, thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. We just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. With every fiber of our being, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the work of the cross. Hallelujah. We thank you for discernment. We thank you for your light that has come into the world. All right, my brothers and sisters, let's now go and see what's going on with In Our Image. Brother Sullivan, God bless you. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing wonderfully. Of course, I was on the chat board a little bit earlier, and I'm always disappointed a little bit when you see one soul go off on the deep end. Apparently it was a Catholic that just went through a year of teaching and assumed that
and she's sincerely looking and she's just looking. You know, and
you know,
she hasn't found.
We're gonna have to have the sense to know, brother, is this: if I go to a Baptist and I get taught by a Baptist for a year, they're gonna teach me what they believe as a Baptist. If I go to a Catholic and they're gonna teach me for a year, they're gonna teach me what they say as a Catholic. The only way you're gonna know the truth is to go to God Himself, the Bible.
There you go.
And
there you go. There's no two ways about that one.
That's right. And you will find out that what's in the Bible is a lot different from what both groups teaches. Now, that
sure
doesn't mean that people, that doesn't mean, I remember I was raised in a Baptist church, and I certainly didn't go around saying, hey, you know what, I'm lost because I believe, look what I believed in the Baptist church, or look what the Baptist church believed. They taught me that I was, you know, that we all was worthy of death or will die because somebody else sinned.
Well, you know, we can't go into that right now, my brother. We got to squeeze In Our Image in. Let's set up what you got for us today.
Well, basically, my understanding is that you're going to play the what we put together. It is the teachings that one of the characters in Our Image, one of the main heroic characters in The End of Days, a gentleman named Thomas Hankins, who is considered at that time to be a major problem in the United States particularly. And it shows his teaching to his young grandson having to do exactly what we're talking about here today, how the church got off from what God teaches into paganism and the difference that it actually makes, why it makes a difference, which the person in chat, if they had stuck around and listened, they may have gotten a chance to see. That particular person seemed to have the idea, it doesn't matter as long as your heart is intended to be well. This will show, if you understand it, it will show why that is an impossibility.
All right, and let us now go and listen to next chapter of Why Man Exists, In Our Image.
Tom, Grandfather Thomas, why are we really hiding? I mean, many of them say that all they want us to do is to obey the law. Why are we not obeying the law, Grandfather?
Grandfather Thomas.
Tom, hasn't your mother taught you these things? I taught Gina everything that I know.
Huh.
Well, she said that you are a great-grandfather, but it was hard to see how you are right about the Bible and most other people are wrong.
Gina, listening to her son talk, says,
Tom, I never said that Dad was wrong, but I know for a certainty now that he was right. Be sure to listen to him carefully and understand as much as you can.
Grandfather Thomas.
Tom.
He said, someone's coming. There were groups of people that Thomas and Gina could see through the cracks in the well-hidden shelter. They were rounding up recalcitrant neighbors of Thomas Hankins. Many of these people had learned the truth from Thomas Hankins. Hankins knows that some of these would not come back to their homes alive. Some of the searchers claim to be the friends of the people taken away. They are uniformed troops who look to the entire world like the German soldiers of World War II. Gina begins to wonder if one of her dad's friends, who were in the shelter with them, ever laughed at her dad's ideas and told anyone about the shelter. There was one person who was not in the shelter with them who knew that there was a shelter, her ex-husband David. After David's mother died, he had no more use for God. He changed into a different person and became abusive. David and Gina were happy, very happy at one time. David heard a lot of truth from Thomas, which was reinforced by Gina, but with uncertainty in some doctrines, particularly in those things where Thomas differed from any mainstream church organization. Now, David lived along in a wooded area out of town. He had recently taken a job in a local conformity enforcement unit. He was responsible for filing all reports of people rounded up and which ones confirmed to the law. He is still a troubled man. How a supposedly loving God could allow his mother to die, but even more troubling to him is that he allowed himself to change so much that he lost his family. David only interacts with others as it is necessary. Searchers finally bound everyone that they could find. Now they will be taken to authorities and given an opportunity to repent and to do the things that the rulers of the whole world have decided should be done for the good of all. All these folk had refused to support a system determined to tell who could live and who should die, who could buy and sell, what they could buy and sell, and how much they could buy and sell. The system even allows the sale of the souls of the innocent. Gina and her son Tom and her father Thomas, even deeper in the shelter, where there's prepared many supplies. There are a few friends with them, and Thomas continued his conversation with his grandson. Thomas.
No, Tom. There's always been a reason for all the hell we go through down here.
Tom.
Yeah, so we can go to heaven, right?
Thomas.
No, where are you getting all of this traditional garbage from?
Dad, I'm sorry, but at the time I thought it was best to teach him traditional things and the things that you taught me. I thought it was best at the time.
Tom.
But, Mom, you said that Grandpa took religion so far that he did not celebrate Christmas, and that you could not see how the whole world was wrong. You also said Grandpa was a little too fanatical for your taste, but you loved him too much to tell him.
Thomas just sat and watched the interaction between daughter and grandson. Tom.
But I always had fun with Grandpa on Christmas, and it didn't matter to me.
Thomas.
Tom, early on in the life of your mother, we had a great time on what is called Christmas. At that time, I did not realize that Jesus was not born anywhere near that day. I didn't understand that God became angry with Israel for their celebration of the birth of Tammuz at that time of the year. I didn't understand that celebration the whole world had kept long before the time of Christ, and it's pagan at its core. Your mother just wanted to make sure you didn't miss any good thing.
Gina.
Thanks, Dad.
Gina said, smiling admirably at her dad.
Tom, it was prophesied more than 2,500 years ago by Daniel that at some stage of the Roman Empire, a little horn would arise and be part of the empire. It would do religious stuff, think to change times and the laws of God. This little horn concerned with religion would continue until the Lord comes, and he would destroy the leaders of the empire. Your grandpa and I...
She pauses for a moment as she looks at her dad.
Now I know that the empire and the little horn has started an inquisition of believers as it did before.
Tom.
Yes, but as my mom used to say, Grandpa, how can you be so sure that you are right and the men in church organization and TV preachers are wrong? How can you be so sure?
Thomas.
Listen, son. God says that his word is written as line upon line, precept upon precept, and here a little and there a little, so that they may stumble, fall, and be broken and snared and taken. And this means that it is impossible for non-believers to believe or hold the truth.
Tom.
What is this line upon line thing?
Thomas.
A line is a builder's plumb bob to measure that...
Tom finishes the thought. Tom.
That everything fits perfectly? And the precept means what?
Thomas.
Think of precepts as axioms, principles, and foundations on which all else must stand. Now together, this pictures the word as a building with all parts fitting together like a puzzle. Like a puzzle, different parts only fit in certain places. So you see, Tom, if you are an unbeliever, you will do like the many TV specials demonstrate unbelievers do. You've seen it. They try to explain all the different theories. They will look at what the many pagan beliefs are and try to see where the biblical thoughts may have come from. You see, they stumble over the fact that they don't believe the word is really from God. However, the believer knows the word is true, even though he may not fully understand it. Scripture says that neither Daniel nor anyone else at the time understood the meaning of many of his prophecies. It was made known that in the time of the end, knowledge will be greatly increased. We are at the time of the end, and through this word, understanding and knowledge has greatly increased. It is clear God did not want people to completely understand prophecy before the times had come. If they had known, many would say that men tried to make the prophecies come true and therefore they became self-fulfilling prophecies. Now listen to the precepts and understand. Only God could have predicted that after several hundred years of existence, the fourth and last kingdom Daniel spoke about would have melded with a religious leader, the head of the church, or that this little horn would last for many hundreds of years till the time of the end, and it would change times of celebrations and laws of God, and also persecute God's people, that her many daughters that spring from her, who have harred her excesses, would one day cooperate with her again to the persecution of a final generation of Christians. You see, that prophecy could only happen once and with one entity. You see, Tom, the genius of this was that no one can know until he realizes that Rome, the fourth empire, will revive seven times as is represented in the seven-headed beast of Revelation. Now that it has arisen six times, and we are in the beginning of the start of the seventh, there is no reason anyone who wants to know the truth should be ignorant. Nothing else can fit this prophesied scenario since the beginning of man. This is as history pre-engraved in a diamond stone, so no one can logically claim that there are many possible meanings. One day man will behold this and shut his mouth. Right now, a purging will begin to take place. God will bring men through fire as gold is purified in a furnace.
he will then take the pure go, and they will take over this planet with him. This is the beginning of much suffering. Now the labor pains must begin, but happiness will be the end result. So don't despair, regardless of what happens. Tom.
Wow. This is where men are turned to super beings? I mean, when Christ comes and saves us, right?
Thomas.
Right.
His grandfather said. Tom.
Okay, but why do so many in churches teach that we will be raptured and be in heaven when all the bad stuff happens? Explain that, would you?
Thomas.
Shh, be quiet. This is the second stage of their sweep. They hope to catch anyone that they may have missed unexpectedly.
The jackbooted ones were back and looking around constantly in the same area near where they were hiding. Thomas and the others thought that they might have been informed of the rumors that there was a secret compound or hiding place in that vicinity. He also worried that his daughter's ex-husband could be the source of the information. Tom.
Mom says that Mother Mary was not only Jesus' mom, but ours also.
Thomas.
We should treat all women, especially those who believe, as mothers or sisters or daughters, depending on their ages compared to our own. Mary gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his brothers and sisters.
Tom.
But doesn't most of the church teach that Mary had no other children?
Thomas.
Yes, they do, Tom, but it is not correct. You see, after the flood, as men spread across the earth, Satan started the cult of the woman mother of God and her child with one of the other or both with a halo around the head. She was the goddess of fertility. Her child was supposed to be God. He was both separate but the same as his father, having come back from the dead. Their celebration was on what we call Easter, with bunny rabbits and eggs. That represented fertility, and around December 25th when her child was supposed to be born.
Tom.
You're kidding, right? Why do Christians celebrate these days?
Thomas.
Tom, sometimes people make decisions that they feel like is the best of a bad situation. We all do it to some degree or another, sometimes in our lives, long after the death of the apostles and even the younger people that they train to take their places. The church saw that the whole world celebrated these celebrations at the same time of the year as they do now, and thought that if they allowed them to keep the celebrations and just name them after Christ, it would help the world believe. They sometimes just changed the name on pagan statues of the pagan Madonna with child to Mary and Jesus. I'm afraid that did not work out as some hoped. Instead, the church had fallen away from the truth, and many began to preach error and doctrines of men, fables as the Apostle Paul called them.
Thomas continued.
They turned away from the seven feasts of God taught by ancient Israel, eight if you count the Feast of the Last Great Day, and those feasts painted eight major sections of a giant puzzle of God's plan for the entire universe. Now, instead of seeing and understanding scripturally the meaning of those feasts, man is trying to force feasts that are pagan at the core to fit God's plan.
Tom.
Like what, if I may ask?
Thomas.
You may ask. I know you are a brilliant child, but I will keep it simple. Men in the church teach Jesus crucified and buried about sundown Friday, and that he rose Sunday morning before sunrise.
Tom?
Yes, that is what the church we used to attend taught.
Thomas?
You know the story about Jonah and the great fish?
Tom, of course, Grandpa, that's elementary.
Thomas and his grandson chuckle about Tom's retort. Thomas?
Well, Jesus said that an evil and adulterous generation would look for a sign, but no sign would be given it except one.
Tom.
Okay, you got my attention. What is that sign?
Thomas.
Tom,
understand this is the generation, as would be all of the generations, that ask for a sign, because no generation has been clean. Jesus said that just as Jonah was in the belly of the monster of the sea for 3 days and three nights, so would he be buried in the heart of dirt, 3 days and three nights. Now tell me, do you see a problem with saying buried Friday evening and raised before sunrise Sunday?
Tom, you cannot get 3 days and three nights.
Thomas, true. What you get is a whole lot of silly theories. Nevertheless, for those who believe Jesus, it is freedom, because they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. By understanding this mystery, much of what the church has fallen away from can be seen and restored. Now listen carefully to the clear explanation you get from God.
Tom's grandfather, Thomas, continued to explain the one sign that Jesus said would be given an evil and adulterous generation. Thomas,
when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he had told them that the very first month would become the beginning of the year. They called the name of the month Nisan, or Abib. That usually comes sometime in our March or April. They were to find a lamb without one blemish, as perfect as they could find, and put it in a separate place to prepare it for sacrifice on the 14th day of that month, Passover. They all were to gather around that lamb and sacrifice it between the evenings, that is, afternoon and before sundown. The children of Israel rehearsed this for about 1,500 years until Christ came, of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now Christ was that perfect lamb for which they had been rehearsing for 1,500 years. They took Jesus at the time of the lamb sacrifice on Passover, and he was crucified for a sacrifice for our sin. 3 days and three nights from the 14th in the evening means that he rose on the 17th, also in the evening. The prophet Daniel said that he would put an end to sacrifices in the midst of the week. Go ahead and analyze it. There is only one day of the week that could have been the 14th, and Jesus still be gone before day Sunday. That day is Wednesday, which means that Jesus rose on what we call Saturday evening. This is why the women came there while it was dark. The angel could tell them that he's not here, but risen as he said. Many think that Christ rose when the stone was rolled away, but Jesus was now spirited, could walk through solid rock. The women came when it was yet dark, but the stone that blocked the cave where Jesus had lain was rolled away even before that.
Tom. Okay, Grandpa. I'm not trying to be funny, but how is it that a great sign? How does that truth make us free?
Thomas.
Good question, Tom.
Yeah,
Tom said.
And I would like a good answer, sir.
Thomas.
This means all the sunrise services you ever attended propagated a falsehood. It made the day Satan chose to make special for the false god the day millions think God set apart for worship and rest. As prophesied by Daniel, the little horn would think to change times and laws. That false belief effectively changes the law of the Sabbath and the celebration time. When the fallen church that Paul says will be teaching fables calls many to use the names and dates of celebration that all pagan sun worshippers use from the time of Nimrod and his wife Semiramis. This includes Easter from Ishtar and December 25th, which was a time of birth of the child god of Nimrod's wife, Semiramis.
Tom. Okay, Grandpa. Please don't get angry, but does any of this really matter? I mean, as long as people do good, why would God care?
Thomas.
Tom, remember what Jesus said about knowing the truth and the truth would set you free?
Tom.
Yes, but I'm trying to understand.
Thomas.
The difference is being free or being in bondage to Satan. Notice that those who learn the truth and embrace it also learn the truth about God. Jesus said that this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent.
Thomas continues,
you see, all cultures have a goodness and times when people give gifts to each other, but they may know little about God. Those that accept the fables about the resurrection also accept the doctrines that come with it. The same doctrine that Satan pushed through the Nimrod, Baal, Astaroth, Ishtar, and all pagan nations around the world throughout history. They believe in the lie that Satan told Eve in the garden, that men don't certainly die. This is the doctrine of immortality of the soul. Ask many preachers, and you will be hard-pressed to find one that believes Jesus really died for your sins. They believe that he covered himself with flesh. It died, but he never did. This calls God a lie, whom Scripture says only has immortality. They believe that God tortures people forever, even as God says that what you earn from sin is death, and that the dead knows nothing. What a change to a different God and a different image to be worshipped.
Thomas continues,
men have died for believing what I believe, and many will yet die.
Thomas,
listen carefully. If the wages you earn for sin is everlasting life in hell fire, no one, not even Jesus, has paid that price for you, and you are still in your sins. But if the wages of sin is death, and Christ really died, and people adhere to this real truth, then they show that they are taught by God. As it is written, and they all shall be taught of God. He is the truth in the lives of all that know God. Many people seem to think that God was justified to punish ancient Israel for Baal Astaroth worship. Yet they hold the same Baal Astaroth worship traditions, and they believe that God does not mind because they attach the name Jesus. Unfortunately, they don't understand that the Baal Astaroth worship came with the idea of Madonna with Child, the idea of immortality of the soul, and everlasting torture that all was taught on the dead type worship. Now the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one, and he has deceived the whole world.
Tom,
we must tell our friend Matthew. I don't understand. He's a good person. Why would God kill him?
Thomas,
Jesus is not coming to destroy the world. He's coming to save it. Don't worry. God knows each person, and all will get a chance to accept the truth, either in the age now or in the time of the kingdom.
All of a sudden, they recognized that the compound had been entered. Everyone was listening to Thomas, and they failed to monitor the mirrored system that Thomas set up to see if someone approached or breached the compound. Some of the men spoke about stoning anyone who came to get them. They heard someone at the compound door, and this was a huge vault concern that opened easily, but only with a special hidden mechanism. Someone was opening it. Once the seal was broken, the noisy movements were now easily heard. Then a voice called out,
Gina! Mr. Thomas!
And Gina felt as though someone moved a furnace before her face, and her heart raced 1,000 miles per hour.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Hello, campers. This is your Uncle Scott here asking you to join me every Friday night at 9 p.m. Pacific time right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. You know, my friends, we're inundated daily with information from all the various sources, media outlets, commercial businesses, government agencies, schools, universities, and then our friends and family who also get that information from the same sources. Well, that information is what influences our decisions every day, what we want to eat, where we want to live, where our kids go to school, what kind of medical help we'll seek, what kind of entertainment we are interested in. I'm thinking, if you don't have all the right information, how sound are those decisions? I want to bring you all the information so that you can make good, clear decisions about your life and how you want to live. With all the right information in your hand, you have the real power to choose.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
Now, a UFO investigator is looking into whether this was a plane, a helicopter, or something from out of this world.
The lights were pulsating on it, and it would disappear for a few seconds and reappear in the same spot, and then we noticed...
Hey, Leo, you're nowhere visible. What's your plan?
Hey, Leo, that name sounds like the creature I heard about on Freedomizer Radio and Sound Doctor Ministries.
Sounds like Servant Emmanuel is back at it again, playing that In Our Image audio drama. Belial, this city is yours. Beelzebub, go to the house over the hill, the governor's house. Make him believe that his brother is coming back from the dead talking to him. And Metatron, it doesn't make a difference that we are visible. No one will believe them. They think we are UFOs.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
According to one state legislator, Christians are like racists and should stay in their churches. I'll explain next on Breakpoint.
From the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
As I record this, the state of Colorado, my state, is debating whether to enact a civil unions law. The bill has already passed the state Senate and is awaiting consideration by the state assembly. While Christians are right to be concerned about any attempt to create an alternative to traditional marriage, I'm not talking about the particulars of the bill. Instead, I want to draw your attention to something that one of the bill's sponsors, Senator Pat Steadman, had to say to the bill's opponents. In response to concerns about the bill's potential impact on religious freedom, he replied, "This bill does not reach into anyone's church or mosque or synagogue. You can have all the free exercise there that you want." He then added, "Don't claim religion as the reason the law should discriminate." From there, he stopped pulling punches altogether. Anyone wanting a religious exemption, he said, should, quote, "get thee to a nunnery. Go live a monastic life, away from modern society, away from the people you can't see as equals to yourself, away from the stream of commerce where you might have to serve them or employ them or rent banquet halls to them. Go someplace and be as judgmental as you like. Go inside your church, establish separate water fountains if you want. But don't claim that free exercise of religion requires the state of Colorado to establish separate water fountains for her citizens," end quote. By the way, in the same conversation, one of Steadman's colleagues compared religious freedom advocates to the KKK, the Nazis, and the Taliban. As Eric Metaxas recently told Breakpoint listeners, this kind of calumny is part of being a, quote, "sign of contradiction." Steadman's comments represent, albeit in an extreme way, the kind of criticism to which we must respond calmly and winsomely. The goal is not tit for tat, but instead to clarify the record. Steadman's analogy of separate water fountains, which we hear too often from our critics, directly compares our position with the architects and enforcers of Jim Crow. It's absurd and should trouble anyone who cares about American history, despite what they think about the traditional family. Jim Crow was an attempt to impose legislatively what had been lost at Appomattox. Its goal was to subjugate newly freed African Americans and reduce them to a state of permanent legal, economic, and social inferiority. Separate water fountains were merely the symbol of a system of control that rendered the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, toothless. Obviously, nothing remotely comparable is happening in Colorado or anywhere else for that matter. Besides being ahistorical, Steadman's rhetoric is deeply ironic. If Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King had followed his advice to confine their faith within the walls of their churches, we might still have separate water fountains and the rest of Jim Crow. At this point, we shouldn't have to remind people that the civil rights movement was led by Christian ministers, organized in churches, and was in almost every respect an explicit rejection of the idea that religion is purely a private matter. Just listen to King's speeches or the songs of the Freedom Marchers, and you'll hear the kind of explicitly religious language that is unthinkable today. When King on numerous occasions said, quote, "let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream," he wasn't quoting Jefferson or Madison. He was quoting the prophet Amos. His letter from a Birmingham jail quoted the likes of Augustine and Aquinas in its rejection of the kind of quietism Steadman and others would have us embrace. Come to Breakpoint.org and we'll link you to it. Now, as then, our mission involves raising questions that the larger society would rather ignore. Now, as then, we can expect opposition. How we respond is up to us. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
See you from up. Immortality of the soul. I had a young man to
could get in touch with me, who had heard some of my teachings before, and he was concerned about some information that was sent to him by a friend, where people were claiming that they had been dead and had gone to heaven or hell and was coming back to explain to everyone else what it is that they saw. Well, I wrote to the young man. I told him not to be deceived by all the strange things and that he will see in these last days, because the Bible says that in the last days that the church itself, many in the church, would turn from truth and be turned to fables. You can find that in 2 Timothy 4:4. Well, in Revelation 12:9, the Bible also shows that in the last days, Satan will deceive the whole world. So, the interesting thing that people need to consider is, what is death? If you go to the Bible in Ecclesiastes 9:5, it says, "The living know that they shall die, but the dead don't know anything." Well, if that's true, when you die, how can you come back and tell anybody anything about what have gone on in heaven or hell? It goes on to say in verse 6 of Ecclesiastes 9 that also your love, your hatred, your envy, all of that's gone, and neither have you a portion forever in anything that's done under the sun. Now, that is the whole basis for the necessity of a resurrection. That's why God came up with the idea of a resurrection. Now, just those two things would be enough if a person really believed every word that come out of the mouth of God. But I think you should understand one thing. It was Satan, the devil, that Scripture says that in the beginning of the world we know now, in the Garden of Eden, told this big whopper of a lie. And that big whopper of a lie was, let me just read it to you, Genesis chapter 3. He said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yeah, has God said that you cannot eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, You shall not certainly die. Which is to say, you won't really be dead, or it's not a certainty what God told you. For God do know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, if you notice the lie that he told and the trick that he used on the woman, one is that you won't really be dead. That means that you are an immortal soul. He claimed some special wisdom would be imparted to those that believe him. Notice also that he calls God a lie about death. He next says that the immortal soul is something that also violates what God says. Now notice this. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 45 through the 47th verse, it says that a living soul is natural. Now here's something you should consider. Christians many times today teach that everybody has an immortal soul and that the soul that God created is immortal. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, 45, 47, that it is natural. Church says that it's a matter of where you're going to spend eternity, but you all have eternal life. And the Scriptures say that God only have immortality. You can find that in 1 Timothy 6:16. With one encompassing lie, Satan changed everything in the mind of men. This lie changes even the nature of the personality of God. It creates an image of God that does not exist. A God that would bring you to life without your consent, claiming he has given you a choice between life and death. Wage of sin is death. Then this new God that Satan has created tortures you billions and billions of years without end.
One last thing he has confused people about. Scripture says that what you earn from sin, the wages of sin, is death. Now, too many churches is really saying, no, what you pay is everlasting torture. If someone believed this doctrine, that the punishment for sin is to live forever and ever while being tortured, realize this, that nobody has paid for your sins, not even Christ, because all he come to do was to die for them. Let none of this demon-inspired delusion cause you to disagree with God. As Scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar, so that you can be justified in what you say and may overcome when you are judged. Have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy, to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty Stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here: there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, oh, to Thy kingdom, oh Lord, to Thy shore. Closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Let it be, dear Lord. Dear Lord, grant us a closer walk with You. Father God, we need You. We need You more than ever, O Lord. Hallelujah. The enemy has lodged and attacked against Your people, Father God, but in the name of Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, Your Christ, Father God, we decree now, Father, that Thy will be done. In Christ's name, for His sake we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. My brothers and sisters, believe me, this think that we are discussing about the true origin of Easter and all of these pagan holidays, my brothers and sisters, this is not a joke. And I'm sitting here and I'm praying for the body of Christ, and I'm praying for all of you who for some reason don't understand that are struggling with it. But I'm telling you, even the month, the whole title of month is for the observant of the moon. Man has been trying to wipe out God since God created man. And we need to be mindful of the things of God, because these paganistic ideas, these traditions of men, are cause for banishment for all who follows them. There's no such thing as, our heart will deceive us. Our heart is the most wicked thing of all. We cannot trust it, my brothers and sisters, but we can trust the word of God. And I'm not telling you something that I believe, that I heard. I'm telling you something that I have seen come through time and time again. As long as you line up with the word of God, it might not turn out the way you think it should, but all over, you will be able to see the hand of God that was there, and there will be no doubt in your mind. Amen. Brother Sullivan, really rough out here, huh?
Yeah, I think that there is something that people ought to know and understand. I'm not some, and I don't think you are either, brother. We talk quite a bit. I'm not Catholic haters. That's not what this is about. Let me make this very plain. It's not just the Catholic Church. Even those churches that come away from the Catholic Church still hold on to a lot of those pagan ideas that they took away from them from the Catholic Church. Now, let me explain something. God requires perfection. If you break even the least of the commandments of God, you still going to have to pay a penalty for it. So if you are in a Baptist church, and that's what I was about to say, I was raised in a Baptist church, and I got to enumerate a lot of false doctrines in it, and I know a lot of good people in it. It is not because you're traveling through a wilderness and you're stumbling over this and that you're going to be lost. You've heard Brother Kenneth say this over and over again. That's not what makes you lost. What makes you lost is when light shine up, when you see the light of the sun or whatever show a rock, and you prefer to just go and walk across that rock and stumble and fall. That's when it's your fault. There are a lot of brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church. How do I know this? Scripture said, come out of her, my people. In the last day, he's going to call his people out, because like he did in the past, there are certain things that's going to happen that there are no longer any excuses. For instance, during that time, when they start persecuting other people for their heartfelt study of the scriptures and saw something different, then people could see, well, there's something wrong here. God's people is not supposed, the real true church of God wouldn't be killing other people in the name of God.
That's
so
right.
They could clearly see then, and everyone that stayed in there, even though they could clearly see that, they missed the boat. And that's where it's going to be here at the time of the end, when God is calling one more time, the last time.
And it's coming.
It's definitely coming. And that is not just for the Catholic Church, Baptist, and I was raised in a Baptist church. It's for you, too, who is teaching some
Baptist,
of the same false
doctrine.
The
Pentecost, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Jehovah's Witness. It's all of them. God has people that has to come out from among the synagogues of Satan, because this is what organized religion has become. And they have walked away, and they are following the traditions of men and worshiping Christ. And Christ told us plainly, in vain do these people worship me. Their heart is with, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Teaching doctrines, the traditions of men. We can't have it both ways. It's not going to work. No matter how much we want, we think, oh, well, God knows my heart. Yes, he knows that you are sitting up and to go along with everybody else. You would rather go along with them instead of going along with him. We done already been warned we're going to be hated, persecuted, and killed. But those who remain faithful until the end, those are the ones that will be saved.
That's right. Now, some people suppose that if you could have went back during the time of ancient Israel and said, hey, I know you're celebrating Baal, I know you're celebrating Easter, but all you got to do is put the name Jesus on it. If you put the name Jesus on it, God will be happy then. If what some people
that's
will tell you today
from the
is
pits
true,
of hell. That's a lie from the pits of hell.
So if you are in an organization, you happy with it, know this. You ain't no different from anybody in any organization, any world, on any religion that's happy with it. Unless you are obeying the truth. And the truth don't hurt nobody. And I kind of feel sorry for my sister or whoever it was that left earlier thing. I'm getting away from you fundamentalists. Fundamentalists mean going back to the foundations, which is what Christ tells us to do. And I don't consider myself what she may have been thinking, but I do know this, that if you go to the Catholic Church, you go to the Baptist Seminary, you're going to be taught what they teach. Not necessarily what the Bible says. I was talking to a brother who was a Baptist, coming out of the Baptist Seminary, and I don't know how much time we have, so I'm running. And he was going to show me how that, well, the Sabbath is no longer, because that was under the law. I went back to the start from the very creation, showed him that not only was God's Sabbath there before the law, it was kept before the law, and how that even after the law was incorporated in the law, and now that it is still not only.
It is still valid. If you read the New Testament, like so many of us do not, the observance of the Sabbath is still in there. We read it yesterday.
That's right. And not only but I took him to the passages in the prophets showing that even when Christ comes back, one of the things he's going to do is force the world to keep his Sabbath. And not just the seventh-day Sabbath, but also like the Feast of Tabernacles and other Sabbaths that he had. Because they have never been done away with. If they were done away with, he wouldn't do that. And the fact of the matter is, to my Catholic friends, is that the Catholic Church is not confused like a Baptist Church. A Baptist Church is confused about the Sabbath. The Catholic Church knows better. That is a different thing when you know better. You know you did it, and you know why you did it. And you explain to people, and they still don't believe it. A Baptist person is confused because he thinks because the Catholic Church said that Jesus Christ was crucified on Good Friday, an impossibility, and raised Sunday morning, an impossibility, he believes that. Taught from the Catholic Church, and so therefore he justifies, well, I'm not doing this because of the Catholic Church, even though he's believing the doctrine, I'm doing this because Christ was resurrected on a Sunday, an impossibility. So, you know, the interesting thing is that he's deceived. But once someone points out to you and you see plainer that it is not even possible, then you become guilty.
And still you reject it. Then that is what Jesus was telling us. When light has come into the world, but man prefers darkness, that means your deeds and your motives are strictly evil in the eyesight of God. You know, and we always trying to justify ourselves, and we always trying to claim ourselves righteous and not that bad and everything. But God then already told us, people, your righteousness is no more than a filthy rag to me. That's how far we are away from God. Brothers and sisters, wake up. Quit trying to build yourself up. The Word of God tells us, man that think he's something when he is nothing deceiveth himself.
But I don't want my brothers and sisters going around here acting like they're scared. What God going to do to me? If you're seeking for the truth, the Bible says God is going to take care of those that, I shouldn't say take care, he's going to punish those and get rid of the ones that break his rules and those that have not sought his rules. If you have not sought God or you turn away from him, you're going to be done away with. But those that are seeking God, guess what's going to happen to you? If you're really seeking, you're going to find. Now, if I give you a manual of how to fix a car and you get up every morning and read a verse, you ain't going to never learn how to fix that car. It's going to take a mighty long time, longer than you got life. But if you really want to learn how to fix that car, you're going to begin to study in a contextual fashion what all those words that's written in that manual means. And that's one of the things we do in church today. We get up and read a verse, and we think, well, we pleasing God, and we're not learning anything.
And see, that's the problem, that we need to learn, and we need to learn. You know, I guarantee you there are many people listening right now that cannot give you the definition of a precept, that cannot turn around and give you the definition of a statute, and yet they're mentioned all through the Word of God. What is that? How in the world can we can't be the way? Look, my brothers and sisters, it's time for us to get out of here. Brother Sullivan, it's always a pleasure. We thank you for joining us. And oh my goodness, in our image was on point. I think I might slip that in on Tuesday. That was really on point. I enjoyed that. Oh Brother Thomas.
Absolutely.
We thank you, though, my brother. We really thank you. And the Lord's will, we'll see you again real soon on Tuesday or whenever the Lord makes a way for us to be together again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, let me once again, all of those who are seeking the will of God, who are seeking God's truth, let me offer you Christ Jesus. It's very, very perilous times out here, my brothers and sisters. But Christ is the way. And believe me, we need him now more than we have ever needed him before. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus Christ, I accept that I am a sinner and that I have sinned all my life, but now I understand that I need salvation. Please forgive me of all of my sins and make me a new creation in you. I believe that you died for me, bearing all of my sins, sicknesses, curses, and problems. I believe that you rose from the dead on the third day and is alive for me today. I welcome you into my life. Jesus, be the Lord of my life from now and forever. Accept me as your child. Lead me in your ways. Thank you that you are always with me, even unto the end of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, God bless you. Stay tuned for the Petal Hour coming up next with our new host, Susie. And the Lord's will, we'll see you again on Tuesday. God bless. Thank you for being here. Peace to your homes. Bye.
Lord, I need you. Yes, I do. I can't get along without you, Father.